Well, good morning, church family. We're so delighted that you're with us on this Labor Day weekend. You know, throughout this series, what we've been doing is we've been studying the lives of men and women as they are recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. We've discovered that Hebrews chapter 11 is filled with the lives of men and women of faith. It's best known as the faith chapter of the Bible. And within its 40 verses, we found an extensive list of men and women of faith and their exploits. Early on in our examination of Hebrews chapter 11, we discovered one thing, and that is that not one of the 16 heroes of the faith that are listed there in Hebrews chapter 11 lived in an easy time of world history. They too lived in uncertain times, yet their faith remained unshakable. Now, this is certainly true of the one we're going to be looking at this morning as we close out our series. His name is Joshua. Joshua was the successor to Moses. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles once again to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. It says, by faith. Remember now, each and every time we've talked about these men and women of faith, it always starts out as by faith. The impetus by which they worked, their very hopes and dreams, their actions were all based upon these two words, by faith. So it says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. I think we all know the account of Joshua. You know, we often sing the old song many years ago, Joshua at the battle of where? Jericho. And the walls came what? Tumbling down. So we know the song, we know the story. We're going to come back this morning and try and put all this into the context of the closing of our series on faith today. Now, I want you to consider with me then for the next few moments this morning the faith-filled life of this man called Joshua. And once again this morning, the rest of the story, like that of Paul Harvey, you'd always say, and now the rest of the story. In order to find the rest of the story for Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30, we need to go back to the Old Testament. As we have done so often throughout this series, we've discovered that the men and women of faith that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, their entire story are to fulfill the rest of the pieces of the story, I should say. We go back to the Old Testament. So we're going to do that this morning, turning to Joshua chapter 6. Now, in Joshua chapter 6, we're going to read a rather lengthy portion of Scripture, 20 verses. But in these 20 verses, it's going to let you know God's plan for the children of Israel during this season of their lives. Here's what it says. Now, the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've delivered Jericho into your hands along with the king and its fighting men. Verse 3 says, march around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark, that is the Ark of the Covenant. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight in. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it. He ordered the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed them. So there's a procession now around the city of Jericho. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark, All of this time, the trumpets were sounding. Now, when you hear the words trumpet sounding there, this was a sound of war. And so as the trumpets are being sounded as they march around the city, it is a lot of psychological warfare going on here. As they hear these trumpets going around the city, the inhabitants of Jericho, they know that there is a battle that's going to take place. It says in verse 10, but Joshua had commanded his army, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, then shout. Now, I want you to hold on to that. We're going to come back to it in a few moments. These few words are very insightful about spiritual battles and just about life in general. We'll come back to it. So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to the camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took the Ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord with the trumpets kept sounding, while the trumpets kept sounding. So the sound of war is going on. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to camp. They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city, this time 7 times, not once as they did the other 6 days, but this day on the seventh, 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all that are with her in her house, who spared, shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron, this is all of the take of the city, the booty of the city that they are going to receive. All the silver, gold, articles, bronze, and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. When the trumpet sounded, and the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, and everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. Now, Joshua's victory at Jericho makes for some very interesting reading. But before we consider Jericho, let's go back in our Bibles 38 years. Because you're going to find this is not the first time that they're going to face a Jericho type of city with fortified walls. Actually, when they had left out of Egypt, and the Bible says they had been there for some 400 long years as slaves, when God finally delivered them, they came out and then they began to go towards the promised land, the land that God was going to give them. A land of their own. No longer would they be slaves. No longer would they be hungry. No longer would they be just treated as animals. They would have a land of their own, and this land is called Canaan land, or also referred to as the promised land in Scripture. So from the time they depart from Egypt, the last of the plagues, and now they're on their way, 14 and a half months after, they are now at Kadesh Barnea, which is the very southern part of the land that God had promised them, the promised land of Canaan. It is from there that we read that Moses sent out 12 spies, a spy from each one of the camps of Israel, of the 12 tribes, so that they might check out the land and see what kind of a land it really truly was. And so they send out the 12 spies. Now, I want you to think about it for a moment. Within 15 months of traveling from Egypt all the way now to the southern portion of Canaan land. They are on the very border of the promised land that is flowing, the Bible says, with milk and with honey, which literally means it's a good land, it's a blessed land, it's a fruitful land. Anytime you read about that in scripture, flowing with milk and honey, it means it's a good place, it's a very productive land. And so they find themselves not after 40 years. You see, sometimes we think about the children of Israel and their 40 years on their way to the promised land, and we think that the 40 years were necessary. They were not. You're going to discover in a few moments' time the reason why they will spend 38 and almost a half years wandering in the wilderness is because of their disobedience when they got to the land that God was going to give them after only 14 and a half months. So the 12 spies were sent in to check out the land, and they returned after 40 days. And we now read about that in Numbers 13. It says, at the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They actually brought back examples of the fruit that they had seen and taken from the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's the fruit. You know, one of the insignias of Israel is two men carrying a cluster of grapes that is so big it takes two men to carry it on a pole between their shoulders. So if you were to go to Israel today, you'll find these little statuaries everywhere. It's an insignia of the promised land and how good the land was, and these clusters of grapes being carried then on the shoulders between two strong soldiers. You'll also discover they brought back pomegranates, they brought back figs, and they have said, this is a little bit of an example of what's in the land. And it's a good land, it's a blessed land, and God is giving it to us. Now, in spite of God's promises, however, the spies' report goes from being good and being something that's exciting to something that's negative and faithless. Look at it in verse 28 of Numbers 13. But the people who live there, notice there, they said, the last thing they said, it flows with milk and honey. Here's some of the fruit of it. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. And we even saw the descendants of Anak there. Anak, that is the family by which Goliath comes from. Goliath, just to give you a little bit of a picture of how this seemed in their eyes, Goliath was anywhere between 9 feet tall and 11 feet tall. Now, most of our homes have 8-foot ceilings. So regardless, this man could never enter into any one of our homes. He would have to bend way over in order to be in any one of our homes. He was a big dude, all right? As a matter of fact, he was a mean dude, and that is Goliath. Goliath, and if you use 21 inches to the cubit, he was 11 feet tall. So he said, we have seen the good land, but there's these giants in there. We'd have to take on these giants, and the Amaleks live in the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. Then Caleb is one of the two with faith. It's Joshua and Caleb. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread amongst the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living there, and all the people we saw there are of great size. They could be anywhere from 9 to 11 feet tall, is what they're saying. Whereas the average Israelite at that time would have been about 5 feet, 8 inches. And so we saw the Nephilim there, these giants, descendants of Anak, and come from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. Now in Numbers chapter 14, the people give a response. So it starts out with a positive report. It's a great land. It flows with milk and honey. It's everything you could ever dream of. What a wonderful country God is giving to us. And it now sours and it becomes a fearful place. Cities that have giants, walled communities that are impenetrable. And now in chapter 14, starting verse 1. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and they wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And you just get a feel for what's going on. This thing is going down the tubes. It's going sour. 14 months, they've on their way to this promised land. It's theirs now for the taking. All the Israelites now are grumbling against Moses and Aaron. And the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in the wilderness. Remember that phrase. Here's what they were saying then to Moses and to Joshua. If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? They said to each other, we should then choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Now it was God's time for Israel to enter into the promised land, but they rebelled and they want to return now back to Egypt. They had forgotten all about what it was like to be a slave, to have the whips upon their back, to be treated as though they are possessions of others. Now in verse 23, and when the Lord sent you out from Kadesh Barnea, he said, go up and take possession of the land I have given you. But you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you did not trust him nor obey him. And sadly, they believed the negative reports more than the promises of God. Have you ever been in a meeting where you've seen this very thing played out? It could be in a boardroom. It could be in a community meeting of some sort. It starts out, everybody's up and everybody's excited. And all of a sudden, there gets to be some negative reports. And the negative starts taking over and it can't be done. It won't be done. We're not big enough to take on this kind of a challenge. And pretty soon, faith is gone. And they give up on the very thing that God was going to give them. And so they grumbled. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this community grumble against me? I've heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites, so tell them. Now notice what God says. I want you to tell the people that have been murmuring and complaining and grumbling. Tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. Let me run that by one more time. God said, I've been listening to all of your grumbling, your complaining. You said, I wish I would have just died back in Egypt or die in the wilderness. Why should I go in and now be killed by armies of giants? I will do the very thing I heard you say. I think we should be pretty careful about what we say. Because if we were to receive half of what we talk about, we'd be in trouble, right? And so he said, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In the wilderness, your bodies will fall. Every one of you 20 years old or more who has counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. So now out of 600 men living at the time, only two are going to be allowed to enter into this promised land, Joshua and Caleb. The two that remain faithful and continue to have the walk of faith and the talk of faith. And they're the ones who are saying, we can go take it, take the land now. But because of their disbelief, and now they enter into 38 years of wandering and death in the wilderness. Now let's go back after these 38 long years, let's go back to Jericho. Canaan land is once again in view. Remember, in 38 years, they wandered back and forth, went in circles. There was no real direction to their lives. Matter of fact, from the point where they left Egypt and where they entered into the Canaan land, it was a total of only 215 miles. And at 7 miles a day, that's a very easy walk. Now, I know for a lot of us, that's not an easy walk. But during that time period, when that's all they did, walk everywhere, you could have been there within about 30 days. And so all of this time, don't get confused. The 38 or the 40 years we talk about, these 40 years were not God's plan. God's plan was that his people would go in and take the land just as he had promised it to them in just at least 14 and a half months. So Canaan land is now once again back in view. At the end of this journey, 38 years have gone by. But still, there are the same old obstacles to cross over as there were 38 years previously. There's still a swelling Jordan. There's still mighty warriors. There's still walled cities. And there's still Jericho that needs to be conquered. Friends, I've discovered that the Christian life is much like running an obstacle course. You must jump every single hurdle as they come, or you'll have to go back and start all over again. And I think that most of us at one time or another, we thought that maybe we escaped and we're going to go around a particular hurdle, only to find we have to face that hurdle later on in life. And so it was with the children of Israel. They thought that they had, you know, avoided going into the walled cities. They avoided the giants. They avoided all of this. But now it's 38 years later, and they're right back to where they started. Walled cities, warriors, and all the like. So the Christian life then is often like running an obstacle course. You've got to jump every hurdle as they come, or at some point you'll have to start all over again. So with that in mind, let's go back now to Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. So here they are now, after 38 years, they're at Jericho. And the Bible says, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, and no one came in. The city was shut up tight as a drum. Nobody was leaving. Nobody for sure was going to come in. The walls of the city, historians tell us, were about 38 or 28 feet tall. And in many cases around the city, it was a double-walled city. There was an outer wall, there was no man's land, and then there was the tall walls of 28 feet that surrounded the city. Matter of fact, these walls were so thick that they could have chariot races on top of the walls. So it's a massive city. It's a big deal. And these are only going to be taken by God's plan. And so in verse 2, it says this, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See.'" You know, one of the first things for every victory is you got to see things the way God sees them. Some of you have been seeing all the difficulties that surround us in this hour. But I want to remind you, and that's what this whole new series is about, that God is still in control. He has not given up his scepter of the kingdom, and he has a plan for every single life. And he said to Joshua, "Joshua, I want you to see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with the king and its fighting men." Let's unpack it phrase by phrase for a moment. First of all, it's the Lord that was speaking to Joshua. This was not Joshua's idea to circle the city for 7 days. On the seventh day, seven times, blow the trumpet and give the shout of triumph, and the walls would come crumbling down. So he said, "It's the Lord," he said to Joshua, "I've delivered into your hands." When you see the walled city, when you see the massiveness of the walls, and on the, you know, the high points of the walls, you know, their guards and their military guarding the city of Jericho, I want you to see the city as something that already belongs to you. I've delivered into your hands Jericho, its king, and its fighting men. God's directive then for taking the city, we find in verses 3-5. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carrying trumpets of ram horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up and everyone straight in. March around the city, first of all, he said, I want you to do this for 6 days. And he said, during this march of 6 days, and if you read the entire account, you'll discover that Joshua told the people, I don't want to hear a peep out of any one of you. I don't want you saying a single word. Now you may wonder why. I'll tell you why. It's because the last time the people started talking negative, and the negative ones discouraged the positive ones, and they all gave up, and suddenly it just became, 38 years of wandering and death. And so Joshua said, I don't want a single one of you saying a word, because I can only imagine what they would have been saying. Day 2, they're walking around the city, and the trumpets are blaring. And there's this procession of over 600,000 men that are out there on the field making their way around the city. And I can just hear one say, this is the stupidest idea I've ever heard in my life. I don't know about you, but I'm about ready to get rid of, Joshua. I'm about ready to find some new leadership. This guy's lost it. He thinks marching around a walled city that is this massive is going to crumble and fall because we march around it. This is the stupidest thing. And from up on top of the walls, people were probably, jeering at them and saying, what a bunch of stupids. You're walking around our city, marching around our city. You're making a lot of war noise, but you're all racket, you're all noise. You have nothing more to prove than just that. And so I can imagine within the crowd of Israel, one or two people then beginning to spread, this is stupid. This is never going to work. We're all going to get killed. If the walls do ever come down, we're all going to get killed. They're going to be, spearing us from above. They're going to be arrows flying at us. We're better off just to get out of here. And so what Joshua was told by the Lord to tell the people, don't say a word until it is time for the shout of victory. Don't say a word. I can't even imagine what the people of the city must have been thinking as they were looking over the walls at times, listening to the battle cry and all of that was going on. But on the 7th day, the account, they marched around the perimeter of the city, not once, but 7 times. 7 is God's number of completion. And so they marched around the city on the 7th day, 7 times. The priests, they were to blow the trumpets, the war proclamation through the trumpets. And the people were to break out in a loud shout. You see, when Israel by faith obeyed all that they were instructed to do, God did the miraculous. That is why it tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. Well, where does that bring us today? I believe that this morning God is calling you to rise up and to take your Jericho by faith. Some of you have allowed the naysayers to destroy your faith. You've had plans that you are absolutely, one day you were thrilled about. You were so excited about education, a new business venture, ministry that God was putting into your heart. A home of your own. And the list would go on and on and on. And the naysayers came along and they said, oh, you'd never be able to afford that. The economy is too, uncertain at this time. And now that was 38 years ago and you've been renting all along. You paid for somebody else's house. And God is saying, I believe, to his people today, don't let the naysayers destroy your faith. You see, what God has promised, he's going to bring to pass. And I encourage you today, whatever that area is of your life, maybe you are right on the very brink. You are right there and you were just ready to make a life decision, one that was going to put a new trajectory to your life, to your business, to, you know, some area of your life, whatever that realm may be. You are right there. Your toes were just over the edge. And out of fear, you backed away. And all these years have gone by since, whether it's been 1, 2, 5, 10, 30, or whether it's 40 years like it was with these. You just feel like your life has been going in circles. And if you look at the map, that is exactly what they were doing. They were just, there was no direction, going in circles. Another one would die, they'd bury him in the sand. Another day, three more died, bury him in the sand. Until everyone that was an unbeliever, disbeliever in the promises of God, that was 20 years of age or older, they all died. Some of your dreams have died. Some of your ambition has died. Some of the things that God, he stirred in your heart, he said, this is for you and this is the time to take the city, take it. So he says to you today, I want you to look at it, whatever that it is in your life. What is it that you were so excited about at one time and today you're just wandering, and God is saying, I've got such a life for you, such a much better life. And today you're saying, yeah, I'm going to take it. I believe that this is God's time and God's season for my life. And I'm going to rise up and I'm going to take it. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray, Lord, for this entire congregation. Lord, I pray for all of those that are online with us right now. Lord, I pray that this would be a moment where we had just began to think about some of the things that we were once so excited about. And then out of negativity and a lack of faith, a lack of moving forward, we kind of abandoned some of the great plans that you were putting into our hearts. They were so exciting that we'd wake up during the middle of the night and we couldn't go back to sleep again because we just knew this was a God thing. And then others came along and we allowed them to influence us and to give up. So Lord, I pray today, now that we're back at the very promised land, our feet are touching the tip of Canaan land this morning. Lord, that men and women, boys and girls, people of every age would rise up and say, this is the day that I'm going to take Jericho. Today I'm going to reclaim the blessing of the Lord. This is the day that I'm going to see it as a done deal. It's not my idea, it was God's idea from the beginning. And now, after all the wandering, he's brought me right back to a place where I can take what God has for me. With heads bowed and eyes closed, somebody would say to me today by raising a hand, Pastor, that's kind of where I've been at, but I want to take what God has for me today. I've wandered long enough and I've allowed the enemy and I've allowed negativity and I've allowed the naysayers too much in my life, and starting right now, I'm going to trust God for some things yet unseen in my life. And I know there's a promise that God has given to me. I'm going to claim it today. Let me see your hands all over this room. That's right. And I'm going to pray for all of you this morning. I'm going to ask right now, if you've raised a hand this morning, I want you to come and give me the privilege of praying over you, that you will accomplish, that you will receive, that you will take hold of that which God has in store for you this morning. As they begin to play, I want you to come. That's right, from all over this room. We're going to pray for you. You're simply saying today, I'm not going to allow the past and the naysayers, the people that said I couldn't do it, shouldn't do it, wouldn't do it, that I'm going to take what God has for me today. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, this morning, as men and women are coming to this altar, Lord, they're all coming to the walls of their Jericho. Promises that have been given to them. The land is a good land. It is flowing with milk and honey. It's from God, and it is good. And you've got areas of blessing that we've never entered into. The wall seems so high, the giant so big, that we allowed fear, that we allowed intimidation, we allowed things to hold us back and to keep us back. But this morning, the wandering's over. We're gonna see things the way you show them to us. And you said, look at the city. See, I have given to you the city of Jericho. I've given to you the king. I've given to you all the armies. Do not be afraid. Do not be fearful. Lord, we're so glad that you are the one that goes before us. You're the one that even follows up behind. You're the one that shows us the way, and you say, this is the way, walk you in it. Lord, today I pray, Lord, that there be a breakthrough in the lives of every one of these men and women at this altar and those that are joining us and praying with us online. I pray, Lord, this would be the time they would see the walls crumble, the things that have held them back from the possession of God and the blessings of God. Lord, I pray that those ideas, Lord, those dreams, Lord, would be restored inside of their life. Lord, things that the enemy has robbed them of over all these years, Lord, we pray this would be the day and the time of the brand new breakthrough. Move, I pray, on their behalf. Lord, you're the one that caused the walls to crumble. Help us, Lord, to be careful of who we listen to. Lord, for all of those that came back and began to share the negative, help us to be the ones that share, you can do it. God's with you. God's for you. Help us, Lord, to have a time and a word in season for everyone that we contact and come in contact with. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Just allow the Spirit of God to seal this in your heart as they sing this morning.